This week's Parsha Yisro suggests to Moshe Rabbeinu the nature of the process of Dinei Torah should be addressed and revamped because Moshe Rabbeinu was overwhelmed. And Yisro suggests that there should be people who are Sarei Alofim, Sarei Chamishim, Sarei Asaros, create a system. And there's a lot to say about the system that Yisro suggests. But we're going to focus on the way Yisro describes the Dayanim. What are their qualities? So he describes them in Perek Yudches Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Va'ata sechze mikol om an sheichal yirei lekim an sheyemes soynei vatsa. Honest people and God-fearing people. That's how he describes it. And that's what it seems Moshe Rabbeinu does. But the Abar Minel points out that there is another description of the Minui Hadayonim in Sefer Devarim, right in the beginning of Devarim. There the judges are described differently. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yigimul, Havu Lachem Anoshim Chachonim Unvoinim Viduim L'Shivtechem Asimim B'Roshechem. Here, one of the most choshuv descriptions in all of Avodas Hashem is used, which doesn't appear in Yisro. And that is what we call Chabad. Chochma, Bina, and Das. Moshe Rabbeinu in Devarim recounts that he appointed judges that have Chochma, Bina, and Das. So the Abar Minel says an amazing chiddush. And I want to understand what the lesson of the Abar Minel's chiddush is for us in our Avodas Hashem. The Abar Minel says that we see from the psukim that there was actually a machloikis. In fact, there's a mechilta that seems to say, Vayas kol asher amar elokim, that Moshe did what Hashem wanted, but not what Yisro told him. And there was a fundamental disagreement. Listen well, Rabosai, to this machloikis. Yisro felt that the most important characteristic of being a good leader, a good judge, is to be an honest person and a God-fearing person. Because in such a way, society will function in an honest and effective way. But Moshe Rabbeinu disagrees. And he says, no, this is not the halacha that we accepted. You understood halacha as creating a functional way of life. For us, halacha is something else. It's v'halachta bidrachav. It's when we learn, we go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And those who are going to be the dayanim have to have the highest madregos of chachma, bina, and das. It's a beferish piece of English philosophy. Thomas Hobbes writes that the role of government is to protect man from his fellow man. He was mechaving to a Mishnah in Avos. The Mishnah in Avos says, "Have him ispalo l'shloi malchus, debeli moi roi ishes re'eu blo." You have to have a functional society, even a secular society, even a Gentile society. And you, Jews, who are in a secular Gentile world, if you have to, God forbid, be in that world, you have to pray for the welfare of the government, because without it, man will swallow his fellow man up. And that's Yisro's understanding of what halacha, what civil society is supposed to be. But comes along Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, no, no. That is not what Choshen Mishpat is. Choshen Mishpat is every single part is an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if you take a look at the psukim, what does Yisro suggest? Yisro suggests that what cases should come to Moshe Rabbeinu? He says, Dover HaGadol, the big cases, the ones that are going to have profound influence. What are the cases that make its way to the Supreme Court? Million, billion dollar cases. Those cases that have profound import on economic society. What does Moshe Rabbeinu recount in Devarim? Not Dover HaGadol versus Dover HaKatan, but Dover HaKoshe. Because you know what din is for us? Din is not simply about creating a functional society. Halacha is not about simply creating an orthopractice system where there are people who follow halacha because that is the most effective way to be a good human being. You're more likely to have a daughter that doesn't become pregnant in high school if she goes to an Orthodox school versus another school. Is that why you're sending your children to school? Are you doing halacha because halacha is just the most effective way to raise a warm family? That's beautiful, but that's not the whole thing. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, 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 Torah is something way above that, way beyond that. Torah is about a search for emes. It's a chipus ha-emes. It requires chachma, bina, and das. It's an unbridled search for truth. And that's what we spoke about last week. You know, Bride Magazine did a study. They said that the average bride spends 150 hours preparing for her wedding. And the average groom spends 150 hours saying, sounds good, sounds good. Yechavrusa says something. There's something a little off in Rashi. Sounds good. Sounds good. But we're a kala of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're a bride that every single nuance, every single part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, every single bit, every single subtle change of the word, that represents our search for truth. And that entire encounter of Talmud Torah is a response, as we spoke about last week, to the world of relativism that we live in. And that's why the beautiful stories that you hear about Rav Soloveitchik Shiurim happened. You know, they say that there was, actually the person it happened to said, told me it was me. One time the Rav, because he was such a giant, he didn't get to know everybody in the shiur. And there were some people who were more involved in the shiur and some people that were less. So there was a fellow who had a son in Rav Soloveitchik's shiur, and he met Rav Soloveitchik at a simcha. And he said to him, how's my son doing? Now his son was not one of the stronger boys in the shiur, and he didn't volunteer very much. In fact, the Rav used to call on the boys to read the Gemara. The Rav would look up as he came into shiur, and he would look at somebody, he would go after them. So, and the Rav went after them because, you know what he was teaching the Talmidim? He was teaching the Talmidim that there's emes and there's sheker. There's a right way to read the Gemara and there's a wrong way to read the Gemara. This was his response to the relativism of the world. And there was a boy who was sitting, this boy who wasn't really very well prepared, would sit in the back and he would duck behind the pillar. So the Rav wouldn't see him. So the father saw the Rav at the wedding. He said, how's my son doing? He said, I have to tell you, I really don't know your son well. So next day, the Rav comes into the Mashiach. Let's call the boy named Schwartz. The Rav says, Schwartz, say the Gemara. So Schwartz is hiding behind the pillar, and he panics. And he says, Schwartz isn't here. So Rav looks up and glares at him. He says, as you say the Gemara. That experience, that at the end of the day, there's no escape. That at the end of the day, our responsibility is the absolute pursuit of understanding the Gemara ad hasof. And that's why we learn Bi'iyun. We learn Bi'iyun because it's a response to the relativism of the world. It's a statement that there is emes and that there is sheker. I saw my Rebbe, Rabbi Braunspiegel, cry a few times. One of the times I saw him cry, it was during Shir. He told a story and he started crying. I had heard that story before from my 8th grade Rebbe, Rav Lippe Geldworth, who told us that he had heard this story from Rav Kirzner. Rav Kirzner, by that time, was already entirely paralyzed. His body was no longer working. And I remember as an 8th grader, Rav Geldworth described that when Rav Kirzner said the punchline, tears were going down his face. What's the story? It's about 1850. It's the yeshiva of Elazhin. The Gaon, one of the greatest Gaonim of Lita at that time, Rav Isaac Lecharif, comes into Elazhin and he gives a shiur. And he ends the shiur with a bomb kasha. And he tells the boys, I'm going to be here for another 2 or 3 days, and I want you to come and give me a teretz. Tov. The boys begin to discuss the kasha, and then there's a rumor. The rumor was true. Rabbi Zalacharif has a daughter, and he's looking for the best teretz. And my Rebbe told me the name of a fellow who answered the question, but didn't answer the question. One boy came up, and he gave a brilliant, sharp answer, and Rabbi Zalacharif said, sharp, but doesn't fit in the words. Another boy said, shot to fit in the words, Rabbi Zalacharif said, there's a Gemara that you didn't take into account. After 3 days, there's one young man. His name is Rabbi Yosef Schlupper. Rabbi Yosef Schlupper comes running out of the Beis Medrash as Rabbi Zalacharif's wagon begins to come pull away. And I have to say it first in the Yiddish. I'll translate. And he said, Rabbi Zala, vergesst von der Shidduch, aber wie azoi kennst der gehen weg von Volozhin mit Akasha on Ateretz. Rabbi Zalachar, forget about the Shidduch. About how could you leave? How could it be that you could leave Volozhin with Akasha without Ateretz? That was what once was Volozhin. That desire, it's the ultimate desire of Biku Shemes. Of course, as the fairy tale goes, Rabbi Zalacharif turns to Rabbi Yosef Schlupper and he says, you're the boy I'm looking for. I later saw a picture of Rabbi Yosef Schlupper. He was Rav in Rabbi Zalacharif's town. We live in a world that's lost that. There's Dafyomi, which is amazing. There are fantastic shurim. You're going to hear amazing inspiration tonight. But Rabos, I take all of that and turn it into a Bikusha MS. Don't just take it for edutainment. There's so much more. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Yisrael. This is Chochma Bina and Das. This is not just information, and it's not just orthopractice. This is the essence of who we are. That's Mila number one. That's the first Mila of learning Biyun. Notice, I'm not talking about any style of Iyun. There are many different styles. Chacham Avad Yosef Zatzal had one style. Reb Chaim Babrisk Zatzal had a different style. Any style you want, but a search for truth. Because that's the essence of who we are. If that's not it, then we're nothing. There's a second Mila. The Chovis HaLevavos describes in Shara Avodas Elokim Perek Beis, that by nature, there's a struggle between the body and the neshama. And by nature, because man lives in a physical world, his body tends to dominate. But a person who learns bi'iyun, it transforms not only their moach, but it transforms their ramach evarim and shesagidim. It transforms their essence. I know some of the Talmidim have heard this from me before, but I love the story. Rav Shach Zatzal, when he was 75 years old, the doctor said that he needs to get more sleep at night. He's not sleeping enough. And they told him he has to be asleep at 11 o'clock. They called in the Rebbetzin and they said, make sure he's in bed at 11 o'clock. The first night, Rav Shach goes into bed, and the Rebbetzin gets up at about 2 or 3 in the morning to go to the bathroom. And she looks and Rav Shach is out of the bed. He's back in the dining room learning. No, so what's she going to do? So next night, she decides she's going to put out the lights. That he can't just simply turn out the lights. She finds a fuse box. She asks one of the Talmidim, she has no idea what's going on with the electricity, but she asks one of the Talmidim, put out the fuse, the entire apartment's going to be dark when Rav Shach wakes up. No. Rav Shach wakes up, 1 o'clock, he's bothered by the sugya. There was an expression in Panovich. The expression was, you guys know that here in Israel we sing on Seder night, Paro b'pajama b'emtza halayla. You have to stick around for Pesach then. So there was an expression in Panovich. Instead of Paro b'pajama b'emtza halayla, they had an expression, Rav Shach b'pajama b'emtza halayla. Rav Shach at times would run into the Beis HaMedrash in his pajamas. The Chippus HaTeira. That was when he was looking for a sefer. But this night, it was dark. So he went to the Beis HaMedrash. The Rebbetzin gets up 3 in the morning. Nebuch, now the lights are all off. She's stuck. She's searching around. She finally calls a bachur. And they tell him he's in the Beis HaMedrash at 2 in the morning. A few nights later, what's she going to do? So she decides she's got to lock the door and turn out the fuse box. He's trapped. He's stuck in the apartment. It's pitch dark and it's locked from the outside by one of the Talmidim. The Rebbetzin wakes up. Poor Rebbetzin. She goes to the bathroom. She can't see anything. And she's searching around. She realizes Rav Shach is still not in bed. She begins to find a candle to lurk around the house. And she goes to the laundry room. And she finds in the laundry room, you know, there's a boiler. On that boiler, there's an LED light. Rav Shach is standing on a chair and he's learning at that LED light. Rabbosai, that could happen to every single one of you when you're 75 years old. Instead of falling asleep in your lunch. You know how? When a person begins to have that desire of Bikusha MS, that's the second Maila. That's the second Maila of learning Bi'iyun. And you're going to be a different person when you're 75 years old. And there's a third and most important Maila. The third and most important Maila that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling to Yisrael was that when it comes to Talmud Torah, it's not about learning what is Jewish life. That's for sure the first step, but that's only the beginning. Rather, it's an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we daven, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us when we learn. And Rav Soloveitchik described so beautifully. If you haven't seen this in print, let me know. We'll print it out for you. Rav Soloveitchik describes that when he learns, he feels HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to him. And then after HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to him when he says the Pasuk, then Ravina sits down, and then Ravashi sits down, and then the Rambam, and then Tesis. It's a melding of all generations from the moment of Shabbos Kodesh, this Shabbos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks at us at our Sinai, all the way down through all the generations, and all your grandfathers, and great-grandfathers, and great-great-grandfathers, they're all sitting next to you. And then the Ravid asks a bunch of strong kashas on the Rambam, and the Rambam begin to speak. People say who are in Rav Soloveitchik's shir, they didn't feel Rav Soloveitchik was speaking. It was the Rambam that was speaking. Kinesinaso b'Sinai. When a person learns Bi'iyun, then he encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just simply telling him what he's supposed to do when he walks outside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not telling him what type of bracha he has to make when he goes out in the street. You're not just learning what you're supposed to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in that search for MS. Such a powerful search. But with that comes the Musar. And the Musar is that it's a tremendous responsibility. Kinesinaso b'Sinai. Because the Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Chav Beis, the Gemara says that just like Pinusinaso B'Sinai, we're going to read in this week's parasha that it was done Be'ema Bereses Ubezeh, it was done with trembling. Halacha, there are halachos of how a person is supposed to learn. Because the only way to be able to experience that is if a person has that sense of Ema Bereses Ubezeh. And I'll give you an example that's not relevant at all, but what I heard from my Rebbe. Reb Braunschweigel was a child survivor of the Holocaust. And Reb Braunschweigel said to us, and this is not lemaisa at all for me and certainly not for you, but just to get a sense, Reb Braunschweigel said that when he sees someone sitting and drinking a Coca-Cola and learning, to him that's a stira, that's a contradiction. Coca-Cola to him represented the lap of American luxury. For us, it's just a way for us to keep up, to stay up. But to Rabbi Braunschweigel, represented the antithesis of what sitting and struggling over MS is. For sure, you could drink your Coke. You know, they say that there was a Hasidic Shabacher who was drinking a Coke and he was learning a Ktzais HaChayshin. Again, I have to go to the Yiddish. And the Rebbe came over, his Rebbe came over to him and he said, Azoi learned min a ktsois mit a cola. That's how you learn a ktsois with a Coca-Cola. It's a nain Rebbe, no Rebbe. Azoi drank min a cola mit a ktsois. The way in which you drink a cola is with a ktsois hachoshen. Rabbeisai, he's 100% right. But we have to make a cheshbin hanefesh. Are we learning be'ema bereses ubezeya? I remember when I was in Yeshiva University, I am a loyal Talmud of my great yeshiva, but because I'm a loyal Talmud, I also have to speak honestly. People who are not so loyal, they don't have to speak honestly. I, as a loyal Talmud, have to speak honestly. To call a spade, the challenges, we have to call out the challenges, we have to address the negatives. So I remember when I was a Talmud in the yeshiva, I was sitting, I'll be honest, I watched the last episode of Cheers with hundreds in morgue. By the way, Ravel Malay was the head resident advisor in morgue. And we were sitting and watching the last Cheers episode. I don't know what else happened that night. I guess Ravel Malay will tell us afterwards about what happened that night. But we were sitting with a bunch of guys. And then there was one guy who's now unfortunately struggling with his children's chinuch, who is much smarter than me, was in a much higher level shiur. But he was sitting back and memorizing the Shita of the Or Zeruah and the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi in front of the television. I hadn't even heard the name Or Zeruah. I came from Tarvadas. We learned Gemara Rashi Taisis. The only thing I'd heard for Or Zeruah is Or Zeruah Latzadik Liyishu Leiv Simcha when the Rosh Yeshiva would come in. I didn't even hear the Or Zeruah. But Rabbosai, there's a bilbul. The bilbul is that sometimes people have lost because Torah is so accessible. People have lost that sensitivity of learning Torah be'ema bereses ubezeya. That Torah is not about simply a course. Smicha is not a degree. Shana Aleph is not about getting credits. Enrolling in a shir is not choosing the best way to graduate college. Talmud Torah has to be done be'ema bereses ubezeya. I can't tell you exactly what that is. But when my Rebbe said that it's not about drinking a cola, he was sending me a message. When I'm telling you that it's not about memorizing shitos in front of cheers, maybe it was better than me. I wasn't even memorizing the shitos. I don't know. But one thing is clear to me, and that is that Talmud Torah is a responsibility that requires us to have the appropriate sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. What would happen if Ravina or Ravashi would walk into the Beis Medrash? Can you imagine the excitement? Every single Gemara you'd be able to ask them. Ravina and Ravashi are not the only ones who are here. Everybody is here. And Kudsha Baruch Hu is here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyata D'Shemaya. To be able to feel that Kenisinasa B'Sinai. To recognize that learning Torah is not about knowing what we're supposed to do. A life of Torah is not the healthiest lifestyle. A life of Torah is a search for emes that is supposed to consume our amach evarim and shesagidim, and it is our greatest statement to the world that there is something called emes and there's something called sheker. And the only way we're going to be able to do that, to embody that, is if we feel kinesinas of the Sinai. I beg of you to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. Each person al pi madrigaso, how can I do a little bit more to feel that kinesinas of the Sinai? Bezer Hashem, this Shabbos, we should be zocha to a true Kabbalah Satayra, and that our learning, we should truly feel Kudsha Brichu and all the Gedolei Adoros sitting next to us.